May 3rd, 2021. Masechet Sanhedrin, Daf Lamed Amud Aleph. We're in the wide lines. Six lines down, let's go again from about four words before the end of the line. The Gemara cites the Mishnah. Shenayim Omrim Zakai Vechule. If you recall, the Mishnah said if there's a circumstance in which the Beit Din, Beit Din of three, has arrived at a conclusion, and two, for example, say that this individual is Zakai, he's innocent, he's the winner, and the other one's Hayav, or vice versa, whatever the circumstance is, that's not the announcement that's made in court. Why isn't that the announcement that's made in court? Because if that Dayan gets up and says, listen, I wanted to do good things for you, but my friends outweighed me in court, that's going to be a circumstance of rechilu. It's going to be a circumstance in which you're bad-mouthing another person, which is going to bring forth all sorts of terrible relationship matters and situations. As a result, says the Gemara, Michtav hechi katve. So I understand the announcement in court would be one which is veiled. We would just say, you're Zakai and you're Hayav, you're innocent, you're guilty, you win, you lose. But what about if one of the litigants wants it written down? He wants an actual written down statement from the Beit Din as to what took place. For example, as we mentioned, if the Supreme Court is to write down their ruling, they would describe in it not only the deliberations, they would describe the final punchline as to where everyone fell out. Is that what happens in a halakha court as well? Rabbi Yochanan Amar Zakai. Rabbi Yochanan says, exactly as is stated, so too is written down. In other words, it'll say in it, you are Zakai and he is Hayav. Resh Lakish Amar Ploni Uploni Mezakin. And then parentheses, we usually don't read the parentheses, right? It says, Uploni mehayev. You can understand why, because it'll be four judges as opposed to two. But the idea goes like this. According to Resh Lakish, everything is elucidated. You make exactly clear as to what everyone thought. That's a little bit of a shocking statement. We didn't expect that. Lo telech rachil be'amecha, o lech rachil megale sod. We're not expecting Resh Lakish to tell us to reveal the secret as to what went on behind closed doors. We don't want that to be explicitly stated, but that's Resh Lakish's statement. We'll have to figure out why in a second. The last opinion here, Rabbi Elazar Amar, what you would write is, Midivrehem Nizdaka Piloni. You write, from their words, from the words of the witnesses, from the words of the judges, from the words of the litigants, the matter was found that he's Zakai and he's Hayav. It's something in between, ultimately speaking. Okay, but those are the three opinions as to how you would write this down. Says the Gemara, Mai Benayu. Let's talk about practical differences, not just how it's written. Practical differences. What's the difference between each one of these opinions? How do they differ one from the other? Says the Gemara, Ika Benayu, Yesh Benahem. The difference between them is, Leshalume Ihu Manata Behadayu. It's Leshalume, Tashlumin means to pay. Ihu means him, meaning the guy who was the dissenting opinion. How much does he or does he need to pay in a circumstance of mistake? Here's the situation. There's three judges, indeed. Three judges, two find Zakai, one says Hayav, or the opposite. Ultimately speaking, we reverse the judgment. Why do we reverse the judgment? It's found to be a mistake. As we learned earlier in the Masechet, as the Gemara will tell us in Daf Lamed Gimal, very often the judges are now liable to pay as to what they made a mistake in, right? So again, the circumstance, it's good you joined us, Joe, we can now make you Hayav or Zakai. Right, the circumstance between Joe and Eddie, whatever the situation is, one of you was Hayav, one of you was Zakai. That's what we found. I'm the dissenting opinion. I disagreed with those two other judges. When we found afterward that there was a mistake in our decision, now we need to pay up to whichever one of you we wronged. Now, do we all three need to pay up? After all, I'm the one who got it right. The suggestion of the Gemara is that's the difference between how you write it in this statement. If you were to explicate and make clear who thought what, only the ones who made the mistake would have to pay up now. The one who was the dissenting opinion is patur. He wouldn't need to pay manata bahadayu. He wouldn't need to pay his portion together. Dilmande amar, says the Gemara, lemisho omer, according to the opinion who says that you write down, i.e. the opinion of Rabbi Yochanan, Zakai. If we're just writing that the judges found that you were Zakai, it means although I wasn't really together with them on that when it comes down to it, in this court proceeding, I got lumped together with, you know, what it reminds me of? It reminds me of when it comes to judgment of the world. The Mishnah in Masechet Rosh Hashanah describes on Daf Tet Zayin. On Rosh Hashanah, we have some sort of judgment of each individual. But additionally, the Gemara describes, Harambam describes in Perek Gimel of Hilchot Teshuvah, the entire world is judged at specific junctures during the year as well. What happens in, again, Harambam is hard to understand exactly. Harambam seems to describe that if we are as a nation or as a world or as a city found to be more hayav than zakai, more rasha than tzaddik, what happens? Miyad nechreves, right? We're familiar with these words of Harambam. What happens if I'm a tzaddik? In other words, I'm a righteous person, but I happen to have found myself together with the people of Sodom. Am I killed as well? Well, the Torah seems to describe how Lot was saved, but he was saved only because of Abraham. What's the halakha in such a circumstance? Generally speaking, we assume the tzaddik, unfortunately, falls prey to the wrongdoings of the people around them. Right? It's kind of like I'm teaching a classroom, and 90% of the classroom cheated. I throw out the entire test, but the 10% say, but we didn't cheat on the test. I guess you could say, oy la rasha, oy le shechino, but really what I'm saying is you're part of the group. Part of the group, unfortunately. I'm not blaming you, but you're part of the group. It happens to be the medayek, in the words of Ramban Nahmani, in his Perush at the beginning of Parashat Noach, that it's a little bit more nuanced. The Pasuk says that Noach was ish sadik tamim haya bedorotav. What does it mean he was sadik tamim? He was sadiq, means he was righteous. What's tamim? Tamim means complete to a certain respect. So Ramban Nahmani has two explanations as to why it says sadiq tamim. One of them goes along the following lines, is the way they understand it. Had he just been sadiq, not a complete sadiq, he would have been a part of the entire world's destruction. But he's a sadiq. Did you have any sins? If you had any sins, you're on the scale. You're on the scale of both sides, and as a result, you go together with them. It's only because he's the Sadiq Tamim, he didn't even get onto the scale, he's only on the righteous side, that he was saved. And that's the way I always envision a court system as well, according to Halakha. We're going based on majority. When it comes down to it, the majority rules means I'm now, although I was the dissenting opinion, I'm together with them. That's the opinion of B'Yohanan. B'Yohanan says if we wrote Zakai, it means although I didn't think Zakai, I thought Hayav, I'm a part of it. And therefore, when we pay up, I'm a part of the payment. But I never thought that. I never made this mistake. I was telling you guys the whole time not that way. You're not a sadiq tamim. Yes, Jeff?
Wouldn't the judge rather than abstain?
Indeed.
Because he's saying, if I know you guys are wrong, I'd rather abstain, throw me off, and then...
Jeffrey makes the following claim. Says, listen, that's only going to lead to me keeping my mouth shut in court. I'm just going to abstain because I don't want to get messed over in a circumstance where I think you're making a mistake. Why would I speak up? Two things. First and foremost, we got to envision these people as well-intentioned, not just about their money, but getting righteousness and justice out. And as a result, I'll speak up in order to convince the other two.
Right, and then if you fail, though?
So I'm going to abstain at the end. Alternatively, the Gemara will fall off of this claim. The Gemara says there's no such thing. And something along the lines of what you're saying has to be in the underpinnings of this. It can't be that you're going to tell me that we're actually going to differentiate between the three. Jeffrey says, just from a practical standpoint, I'm not going to want to get involved in the Gemara din in the final statement. But anyway, says the Gemara, we'll get there in just a second. According to this, says the Gemara, Lemande Amar Zakai, according to Rabbi Yohanan, who says that you just write it plainly and somewhat dishonestly, that we found him to be Zakai, Mishalim, that means the dissenting opinion, the me in that situation, needs to pay. Lemande Amar Ploni, Uploni Mezakin, Uploni, Uploni Mehayevin, the alternative opinion, Resh Lakish's opinion, who says that you're actually clear. Who said what? Lo Mishalim, I wouldn't have to pay. Look in the statement. I turn to my friends, I say, you guys have to pay up. We have to pay up. We're only 2/3 of the whole. You're the last third. I said, but look in the statement. I never was a part of this. I never made the mistake. Says the Gemara, really? Come on. The Rabbi Yohanan opinion, Ulamanda Amar Zakai Mishalim. According to the opinion that you write down, Zakai, me, the dissenting opinion, I'm going to have to pay, use Jeffrey's words, then I just won't speak up. Alternatively, I will speak up after the fact. Lema lehu, I'll say to them, after all is said and done, you guys want me to pay? Ilididi saititun. Sayit means to listen in Aramaic. Had you listened to me, atun name lashalimitun. you never would have been paying yourselves in this circumstance. In other words, I have a cogent, I have a clear claim. Oh, come on, guys, you're not going to make me pay. Everybody knows that I didn't. So even according to Rabbi Yochanan, where we write that somewhat general statement, we found him to be innocent. It's not true. Everybody knows I didn't find him to be innocent. I turned to the other two and I go, guys, I knew he was Hayav all along. This mistake is on your head. And as a result, I shouldn't have to pay. Ela, says the Gemara, it can't be that's the nafkamina, that's the difference between these two opinions or these three opinions, Rabbi Yochanan, Reish Lakish, and Rabbi Elazar. There must be a different ramification as to how, again, in the court proceeding statement, we write it down. Ika benayu leshalume inhu manata dide. The difference is, listen, certainly I, the dissenting opinion, am not going to have to pay. There's no question. What happens to these other two guys? They made a mistake. Do they now need to pay the full amount, meaning my portion as well? Again, Eddie and Joey are in a dispute for $300,000. Do they pay only $200,000? That was their stake in the mistake over here. Or alternatively, do they pay each $150,000? Do they cover my portion as well? Says the Gemara, let's go like this. Lemanda amar zakai. If the statement that's written in that court proceeding document says zakai, we found him to be innocent, mishaleme, they have to pay. When it comes down to it, it didn't make clear, they have to pay. Lemanda amar ploni o ploni mezakin o ploni o ploni mehayevin la mishaleme. Alternatively, if we're breaking them up as individuals who are separate, then they shouldn't have to pay. In other words, the Gemara is now suggesting in a funny way that the difference between the wording goes as follows. If it's a general statement, I can make the claim to get out of it, but you guys now have to pay. When he looks at the statement, when anyone looks at the statement, what do they say? This was a court decision. Court decision, you got to pay the full amount, but I'm out of it. I make my claim to get out of it. I turn to the two of them. I say, you guys handle it. That would be Rabbi Yochanan's opinion. According to Reish Lakish, where you wrote down exactly who said what, I make the claim out. Itzaitinon, if you had listened to me, we never would have been here. You guys now pay. How much do we pay? It only $100,000 each. That's the Gemara's suggestion.
But if I
may tell,
okay, because of you, I'm
saying. Says the Gemara, le ilav at bahadan lahavas alik dinamide. They should claim these other two litigants, as Charlie just said, turn to the dissenting opinion. They turn to me. And I go, you guys, if you had just listened to me, we never would have been here. They turn to me and they say, had you abstained, we never would have finished this case. So the fact that you actually signed off on this makes you somewhat responsible. And so you can't get out of this. Everybody, therefore, should agree that we all need to pay. So we're back to square one, says the Gemara. Every side over here, in terms of the judges, has their claim. I have the claim. I didn't make the mistake. They have the claim, but you were a part of us. You're not a Sadiq Tamim. You're not a Noach individual. As a result, what is the practical difference of these opinions when it comes down to it? It can't be that the practical difference is whether to pay when there's a mistake or not. We're going to assume one way or another. What's the difference? Ela ika benayu mishum lo telech rachil be'amecha. Rather, it's because of that pasuk which we cited in the Mishnah, don't be a peddler amongst your people, which again means a peddler with your mouth. Don't walk around and speak wrongfully. Don't walk around and expose secrets that should not be exposed. Okay, says Rabbi Yochanan Amar Zakai, Mishum lo telech rachil. Rabbi Yochanan's the easy opinion. That's the opinion we saw in the Mishnah in terms of how it's said out loud. Don't get up. If I had a dispute together with these others, it's the classic mistake in a school as well. The administration meets about this student who was acting wrongfully. And then you meet with him and you say, listen, not really where I wanted to be, but I was outvoted by the teacher senate. You just threw the entire teacher senate under. I mean, unfortunately, these types of things happen. Not in Flatbush, but other schools. And as the claim, as well, how could you have just said that? You just threw the teacher senate under. It was a joke, Jeff. It was a joke. I have no access to any other school. I don't know. You just threw them all under. It says, "Lo telech rachil be'amecha." You did the wrong thing in terms of exposing that. It says Rabbi Yochanan, can't be written, can't be spoken. You just say, "We found you to be innocent and you to be guilty." Reish Lakish, how do you respond to that? It's a great claim. You didn't even need a pasuk in the Torah and Mishle. We had two pesukim in the Mishnah. You didn't need anything. It's a great claim. Don't get involved in this. Just say that's the case. That's the final line. Reish Lakish, Amar, can't be. Can't be. I have another problem, says Reish Lakish. Peloni uploni mezakin, ploni uploni mehayevin mishum The mehazeh lahazot benoam Adonai means to see. A hazeh is a navi, someone who sees. Mehazeh, it's seen as kishikra, sheker. Says Resh Lakish, writing the words, we found you to be zakai, we found you to be hayav, it's a lie. Now it's mehazeh kishikra. It's not an actual lie, because when it comes down to it, we know it goes based on majority rule. Says Resh Lakish, the fact that it's at all seen as a shemitz, as something of a lie, in and of itself makes it that you can't make that statement. You have to be absolutely clear. But listen to what's going to happen as a result of this honesty. We're going to lead to arguments, to fights, to paybacks. Says Resh Lakish, sheker midivar sheker tirhak. The world is built upon the principles of emet, and as a result, it cannot be, and it may not be, that we expose anything other than utter an absolute truth. That's the machlokas of the Gemara. Ultimately speaking, we were fancy. It's a monetary distinction. It's a question of how much you're going to pay. Who's going to pay? Nothing to do with that. It all has to do with morals. All has to do with ethics. Says the Gemara, what about that last opinion, Rabbi Elazar? Rabbi Elazar is the funniest one. It's a shame that Jesse's not here. Jesse got angry at Rabbi Elazar. Rabbi Elazar is the sellout. He pulls in between. He doesn't say that we say Zakai. No, it's not true. He doesn't say we're going to tell you who. We say Midivrehem v'Rabbi Elazar. Itle demor v'itle demor, says Rabbi Elazar. I have both opinions. I like the idea of lo telech rachil, so I don't think we should expose who said what. I, of course, like the idea of not lying, so I don't think we should lead on to anything that'll be perceived as a lie. Hilkach, therefore, katve hache. Therefore, you say the following, midivrehem nizdaka piloni. From their words, this individual was found to be innocent, or to be the winning litigant. That's the halakha. The halakha is like Rabbi Elazar. Can you imagine? Rabbi Elazar, who takes the middle approach. He won't submit to either one of the sides. He thinks each of them have a claim. He says, so put something in between. Something in between. You know, you're always stuck in between. As in between can be perceived either as the greatest, or alternatively, come on, you didn't take a stance on this. I mean, we all know this in our business life, in our religious life. Everybody wants you to make a statement, but I can't make a statement. I see validity in both ends. So I'm going to waver back and forth. I'm going to, at some points, be in the ahava, the accepting side, bringing all in. Other points, I'm going to be repelling, looking for the elitist approach. It's the approach with HaKadosh Baruch Hu in our relationships as well. Constantly driving forward to him, learning more about him, and then we're jolted backwards, as Harambam writes in Hilchot Yisodei HaTorah. Okay, when it comes down to it, we try to strike the balance. Says Rabbi Elazar over here, we did strike the balance. Over here, you're able to have a parv wording which catches us in between neither a lie nor exposing the secret.
What does he say about the money?
What's that?
What does he say about the
money? Gemara never tells us about the money, a punchline. Over here. Over here, the Gemara says they each have claims. When we get to Daf Lamed Gimel, we'll be able to explain that further.
Indeed. No.
Not really. You're exposing that we weren't all together. We're not exposing who said what. Midivrehem, from their words. I don't know who said what. All right, gamru et hadavar hayu machnisim v'chule. Onward in the Mishnah. The Mishnah then told us, when they finished deliberating, when the judges finished listening to their edim, when they finished dealing with their matters, they would bring them in. Now, the word them is very unclear. Who are they bringing in? Who was outside? I pointed this out in the Mishnah. Says the Gemara, leman, lemi. Who are you bringing in? We were just listening to the witnesses. The litigants were in the room. The litigants are there together with their lawyers. Their witnesses are speaking. If you're going to tell me it's the litigants, that's the ba'alei dinim, the people who have the deen, the people who are involved with this judgment. Hatam kayameh. Hatam, we switched the taf with the sheen in Aramaic. Sham kayameh. They're standing there. They never left the room. They shouldn't have left the room. Ela la'idim. Rather, it must be that we're bringing back in The witnesses have been talking. I mean, what's the court proceeding if not the witnesses? Well, if you recall, our Mishnah told us the following. We brought in witness by witness. We brought in, if you recall, the words of the Mishnah, the Gadol Shebenehem, first the higher stature individual, and then the next one. We brought them in separately because we wanted to cross-examine and compare their statements and their words and their descriptions one to the other. The description in turn goes like this. We brought in one, and we spoke with him, and we listened to him, we wrote down, all that sort of stuff. Then we sent him out. We brought in the next one. Same drill, same question, same everything. Sent him out. We deliberated, and then we brought the two of them in, if we found them to be matching, to make a statement together. For what reason? When it comes out to, I heard his statement. Why do I need the two of them together? Says the Gemara. It appears as if you need to hear the statement together. We want to, for practical reasons, cross-examine each of them individually to make sure they're telling the truth and they're not feeding off of the other person's information and reading them and all that sort of stuff. But after that, after the fact, bring them into the room and let them testify together. For what reason? Says the Gemara, Keman, whose opinion would this be following? Delo kerbinatan. This would not be following the opinion of Binatan. Who's Binatan? Detanya, as the Beraita tells us. Le'olam en edutan mistarefet ad she'iru shneihem ke'echad. Yeshua ben Korcha omer, afilu b'zeh achar zeh. We'll come back to that in just a few moments. Very briefly, what that's a reference to is not speaking in court, but rather seeing, right? Ad she'iru, that's a reference to seeing the test of what you're witnessing. What do you mean? You have to witness the same thing? Obviously, you need to witness the same thing. No, the second opinion, Yeshua ben Korcha, filu b'zeh achar zeh. What's b'zeh achar zeh? The Gemara will explain. It's the following strange situation. You won't believe this. It's, I gave a loan to Stanley today for $100,000. Tomorrow I gave him another loan for $100,000. Today Morris observed it. Tomorrow Solomon observed it. The two of them can come and testify that he owes me $100,000. But yours was on the first $100,000, Morris, and yours, Solomon, was on the second. But when it comes down to it, says Rabbi Yeshua ben Korcha, are they not both witnessing and testifying about $100,000? It's true, I'm going to take a loss of $100,000, but let me at least get $100,000. But you're not testifying about the same thing. Doesn't matter. You're testifying about generally the same people, same amount, whatever. Okay, that's the second opinion. We'll get back to this in just a minute. But here's the part we're most interested in. We're talking about them testifying in court. Not what they saw, but what they say. Ve'en edutan mitkayemet bebedin. Their testimony in court will not be accepted until they actually together testify. Does that mean that they're one, two, three, speak? No, it doesn't mean that they're actually speaking together. It means they're standing there together and they're answering questions and responding and describing together. That's that opinion. Clearly, that's the opinion we're working with in our Mishnah. Why is that opinion we're working with in our Mishnah? Because our Mishnah says, even after you sent out one of the witnesses, bring him back in. Why bring him back in? We already heard him. Let him go home so they could testify together. Rabbi Natan omer shom'in devarav shel zeh hayom, k'sheyavo chaveron mahar shom'in et devarav. Rabbi Natan, whom we're explaining our Mishnah, apparently would not be following, says, what's the problem? I heard Joey Levy now, and tomorrow Eddie walked in, I heard him. We need to bring them to speak together in front of them. We cross-examined. We got all the information we needed. That's the Gemara's statement. So again, settling all the dust for us in the current moment, it goes like this. Our Mishnah has the following statement, cryptic. After you heard the words of the witnesses, you bring them back in and you finish the case. Who are you bringing back in? The suggestion is you're bringing back in the other witness. Why bring back in the other witness? We already heard him. So that we can now hear them together. It's a little cumbersome, a little bit over the top. That's what you need to do, says the Gemara. That wouldn't be following the opinion of Binatan. Binatan says it's unnecessary. I heard you and I heard you separately, a year apart, a few days apart. That's chalas. That's good enough. I don't need the two of you in court together. Now the Gemara will, that's the Gemara's claim. Already when you see the Gemara is going to say le'olam. Le'olam means we can for sure maintain differently. It means we want to defend our Mishnah as perhaps following the opinion of Rabbi Natan. Who's Rabbi Natan? Rabbi Natan says they don't need to be there together. The fact that the Gemara wants to say maybe we can stretch our Mishnah and understand it differently tells us, it's important for later on in the Gemara, that we accept that opinion of Rabbi Natan. For example, Joe Levy comes in, he makes a statement over here. He tells me he heard a class about X, Y, and Z. I could either dismiss that rabbi and say, I don't know. Or I could say, listen, I think what he was saying means this and that. It's because I'm trying to giving validity to whatever rabbi he's quoting. The fact that the Gemara is defending Rabbi Natan and saying our Mishnah could work with him tells us we care about this Rabbi Natan. And as a result, we're actually going to be posek lahalacha that way, right? We're going to be posek lahalacha, then you can accept one today and one tomorrow. Says the Gemara, lo le'olam leba'ale dinim. Other circumstances, a little bit different. It goes like this. We're bringing back in the litigants. Where'd the litigants go? The litigants have been sitting in the room the whole time. They heard the judges speak. What's that? So Charlie says the judges don't do this in front of the litigants. I like it. That's what the Gemara is going to say. It's not really the way it always works today. Certainly not in Batei Dinim. Matter of fact, Hamvadeh Yosef, I once read, he talked about how they would get annoyed, the litigants in Jerusalem early, it was just the 1950s, because the judges would be sitting there and, you know, they'd be dozing off a little bit, and the litigants would catch them dozing off. They get all angry. But, you know, there were certain things they felt like they needed to hear, certain things, and he got angry at the other judges, at the other rabbis. How could you doze off? You're misleading them. And they knew what they were hearing. They didn't want to hear whatever. But we did it. That's what it was done in front of them. They listened and they deliberated in turn in front of them. You're right, says the Gemara.
Which judge says what, they're alone.
Yeah, well, you're going to hear the conversation between the two, and you're going to hear the questions. You're not going to hear the final line. I hear you. Judge says, if we don't know what they said, it appears as if they're not in the room together with us. I hear you. It's meduyak like you in the Mishnah. I hear you. Says the Gemara, V'Rabbi Nehemiah, he would be following the opinion of Rabbi Nehemiah. I don't know how to understand it differently. Good point. Detanya, as the Beraita says, Rabbi Nehemiah Omer, Kachaya Minhagan Shal Nikiyeh Hada'at Sheb Yerushalayim. This is the way those who were clean of thought in Jerusalem used to act. Yeah, you see this in different places. We've seen it in Sanhedrin once. You see it in different places. I don't know exactly what it's referring to. Why are we referring to them to Nikiyeh Hada'at? Machnisin leba'alei dinim. This is what the clear-headed people in Jerusalem would do. They would bring in the litigants. Vishum'in divrehim. They would listen to them. Machnisin et ha'edim. They would then listen to the edim. Vishum'in divrehim. They would listen to theirs as well. Mosi'in otan lahut. And then they would ask them all to exit. Vinosin vinotnim badavar. And then they would go back and forth. And ultimately speaking, they would finish the matter and give their ruling. They finished their decision. They would then bring them in. Again, as Jeffrey says, if you don't know who said what, clearly you weren't in the room at the time, which makes sense that our Mishnah is actually Miduyak, that we're talking about the Ba'alei Dinim. Okay, so that being the case again, so when our Mishnah referred to bringing them back in, who's the reference to them? Initially, we thought it meant the witnesses, like Rabbi Natan. We deflected, we said it meant the Ba'alei Dinim. Why don't you want the Ba'alei Dinim in? Exactly for these types of reasons, it appears. For Lotelech Rachil, you don't want any animosity, you don't want any siding, you don't want any intimidation. Says the Gemara, but it's not so easy. V'hatanya, doesn't the Beraita say explicitly, Gamru et ha'davar machnisim et ha'idim. The Beraita says explicitly, they finished the decision and they brought back in the witnesses. That sounds clearly against the opinion of Rabbi Natan. It appears as if we need to retestify. We need to now have them in the room together to testify. Again, the Gemara said maybe our Mishnah is not going like Rabbi Natan. It's a reference to bring the witnesses in so they redo the whole thing and we hear it together. No, we're referring to bringing back in the litigants. So as the Gemara will tell you it based on Rabbi Nehemiah, the litigants shouldn't be in the room. But the Beraita says explicitly, who are you bringing back in? Not the litigants, but rather the witnesses. Says the Gemara, okay, I heed the look of Rabbi Natan, period. I says, okay, so the Beraita doesn't follow Rabbi Natan's opinion. According to the Beraita, indeed, you need all the witnesses. Does our Mishnah go against Rabbi Natan? Certainly not. Our Mishnah could very much follow the opinion of Rabbi Natan, and that's how we're going to be posek lehalacha. We don't need the witnesses to retestify. Okay, says the Gemara, so now what we've established today is twofold. Number one, we talked about what was written in the document, which was set forth by the Beit Din, if it was requested. Number two, we talked about who's being brought back into the room, how was the proceedings conducted. Now the Gemara says, gufa. Anytime you use those words in the Gemara, that word in the Gemara brings you back to an initial discussion, an initial statement which we didn't elaborate upon. Remember what we talked about? I talked about it very briefly. It was a circumstance where the witnesses, the Maris, saw one dealing, and then the Solomon saw the other dealing. And we said, according to Hachamim, NG, which makes a lot of sense. According to Rabbi Yoshua ben Levi, according to Rabbi Yoshua ben Korha, it's kosher. Who's Rabbi Yoshua ben Korha, by the way? Who is his father? Korha? Korha is Rabbi Akiva, according to most opinions. He was known as Korha because he was Kereach. He was good, bald. The best of us are bald. Kufa says Gemara le'olam. Come on, my father can't be real. Kufa says Gemara le'olam en edutan mistarefet. Ad sheyiru shenehem keihad. Rabbi Yoshua ben Korcha omer afilu bezeh aharzeh. That's the statement. That's the two opinions that we saw. Whether they need to see it together, or they could even see two separate matters and then testify together or combine their testimonies. Amazing thing.
So he answered the question that constantly. I saw it on Monday. I saw it on Tuesday.
That's right. And they're testifying about two separate things. And so what?
It doesn't add up.
I hear you. This is Rabbi Yoshua ben Korcha. When it comes down to it, I can accept you for this 100,000 and for that 100,000. When it comes down to it, what's...
Yeah,
no, it's clearly not. Oh, does it need to be the same amount? And then we'll just do the common denominator.
So on Monday,
so don't use this. I gotcha. They're not lying. It's one witness, each on a similar amount of money, and that in and of itself is sufficient. It's a crazy thing. Amazing thing. Says the Gemara, but Maika Miflige, what are they disagreeing about? Iba'it ema. Iba'it is a compound word. Im tirse. Iba'it ema. You can say either they're disagreeing about kira, pasuk. It's a question of how to be doresh pesukim. Viba'it ema, sevara. Alternatively, it's a logical dispute. Again, Mahlok b'Yoshua ben Korhan Hachamim, about whether they need to have seen the same thing or two separate matters is also sufficient. It's either a mahlok, a dispute about how to read pesukim, or logic. Oftentimes you'll have this type of thing. What's this mahloket on sevara? Of course, one opinion, hachamim, is going to be Charlie. And they're going to scream, what are you talking about? You're not testifying about the same thing. Says the Gemara, amana dekam masahid. Misahid, as we've said several times, sahadeh refers to witnesses. Amana, mana refers to a measurement of money. On the amount of money, dekam masahid, hai means this one. On the amount that Morris is testifying, on that amount specifically, lakam masahid hai. Solomon's not testifying about the same amount. It's the same money amount, but it's not the same actual amount. Umanat kamisahid hai, lam kamisahid hai, and the amount that Solomon's testifying about is not the same as the Morris one. The idach, what would it be? Yoshua ben Korha idach means the other. What would the other opinion argue? Amanat be'alma tarvayu kamisahadeh. You're so rigid, you're so narrow, it needs to be the same. $100,000? $100,000 is $100,000 is $100,000. So I saw $100,000, you saw a different $100,000. When it comes down to what's the common denominator? We both saw $100,000. Chala shalom ali says to Yoshua ben Korha's opinion.
The source of the indebtedness, it doesn't make sense.
Indeed. When it comes down to it,
one source, there's two different cases.
But we both saw that one guy owes money to the other guy, and we're not going to now add them up and say it's $200,000. Even though it really is, potentially, we're going to accept his and say that they come together.
Wait, they weren't. You pay out half essentially? If each one guy owes 100, one guy owes 100, they come together, you'd only pay 100 total?
Yes.
You would have paid 200.
Correct. We don't have witnesses on 200.
Yes, we do.
You have one saying
on we don't have witness on anything. Yeah. Only going to pay $100,000. V'iba'it ema kera, says the Gemara. Alternatively, the mahloket is about how to read a pasuk. Dichtiv. V'hu'ed o ra'ah o yada'. The pasuk in the context of shivu'at ha'edut, the following circumstance. I think that you observed something, and I want you to testify. So I swear you in, because you say, I don't have anything to testify about. So I swear you in. Swear that you don't have anything. And then you're found to be lying. That's called Shvu'at Ha'edut. So the Torah says, Hu Ed O Ra'ah O Yada. He's a witness, or he saw, or he knew about this. V'tanya. And the Beraita, we're going to very quickly go through this derasha. Mimashmash ne'emar lo yakum Ed in Yodea Shur Ehad. Ma Talmud lomar Ehad zebana av kol makom sh'ne'emar Ed. Hare kan shenayim ad sh'yefaret lecha katuv. Ehad. So the pasuk says the pasuk says that you can't accept one witness. And the way the pasuk says you can't accept one witness in a court, which we know, it says lo yakum ed ehad. You can't have one witness stand up. Now the word ed in Hebrew we know is singular. So you didn't need to say ed ehad. You could have just said ed. The fact that it says ed ehad is telling you that the word ed, witness, is a reference to two. Why is it a reference to two, generally speaking? That's what a witness is in halacha, right? According to Torah, it's two, unless the pasuk says ed ehad. Do we follow that so far? So the fact that the pasuk says one witness, because it could have just said witness, and witness ed in Hebrew tells you in and of itself is only one. It means that generally speaking, the word ed means two, ad sheyefaret, until it details for you actually one. Okay, back to our circumstance. What did the pasuk say? V'hu ed oyada ora'a, ora'a oyada. It's talking about you were a witness and you saw or you knew. Now it says the word ed without saying ehad. What does that tell you? It's a reference to two. The apke rahmana, apik, nafka means to come out. We'll get to those words afterwards. The apke rahmana, and the Torah brings this forth, belashon had. The Torah says ed, ra'ah. Yada, as Joey said. So it does seem as if it's talking about the singular, but at the same time, we have a principle and we learned that it's always talking about two. So which one is it, Joey? Two or one? Lememar ad hazu tarvayu kehad. It's coming to teach you. Again, the pasuk says, v'u'ed, which means two. Ora'a oyada, which sounds like one. Is it two or one person who we're dealing with over here? It's two. Why are we talking about them as if they're one? Because they saw and knew and beheld as one. It means the only time you can testify is if you were together, right? It's reminiscent of Vayihan Sham Yisrael Neged Ahar. We refer to the collective as a singular. So over here as well, the description in turn is Hachamim's opinion. Hachamim say, if you saw today Maris and you saw Solomon tomorrow, no good. Why no good? Because the Torah is telling you, you're a segment who saw it as one. What about the other opinions? Beautiful derasha, Hachamim, very nice. Ve'idach Rabbi Yoshua ben Korcha, v'u'ed ora'a u'yada. Mikol makom. There's a lot of superfluous words. There's a lot of extra words. Pasuk should have said v'hu'ed, and he won't speak. V'nasa avono. You're gonna have to bring a korban because you lied and you swore falsely. But instead, the pasuk says you were a witness, or you saw, or you knew. What is a witness if not seeing and knowing? Those extra words in the pasuk are coming to be marbe. What's it coming to be marbe? Even a circumstance where you didn't actually see it together. That's the machloket, ultimately speaking, here in the Gemara. So again, the last segment we saw in the Gemara is explaining that dispute between Rabbi Yoshua ben Korcha and Chachamim. When you saw something, did you need to see it together, the same act, or can you come together on two separate acts? We still need to go back to that other machloket, Rabbi Natan and Chachamim, and understand what underlies that. That's the next lines in the Gemara. What was Rabbi Natan and Chachamim? We're going to talk about again tomorrow. Is you're in court, do you need to speak together, or can you speak one after the other? The Gemara will say that mahloket is iba'itema kira, mahloket about pesukim, iba'itema sevara, or it's a logical dispute as well. Baruch Adonai le'olam, amen v'amen.